I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now the 3-2 pitch from Weaver. Paredes sits a big bouncer toward the middle, glove by the second baseman, throws to first, and it is in time, and the Yankees have beaten the Cubs here at Wrigley. Torres gloved it over on the shortstop side of second, made that long off-balance throw, but it was in plenty of time to get Isak Paredes at first, and this ball game is over, and the Yankees have won Game 1 by a score of 3-0.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, unfortunately, the Cubs get shut out in an emotional day out at Wrigley Field with the return of Anthony Rizzo, which the Cubs and Marquis did a really good job on yesterday. I love that kind of stuff, and I thought the video tribute was spot on, and the treatment that Rizzo got playing his walk up music, the song they always played in his first at bat, Intoxicated, that was pretty sick. And I understand that they're going to do that for his first at bats the next couple of days as well. But let's bottom line it here. The Cubs lose to the Yankees 3-0 yesterday, as you heard Pat Hughes call right here on The Score. And with 21 games to go, the Cubs right now are 5 back in the wild card. It's looking rough right now. Let's bring in Andy Martinez. He is with the Marquee Sports Network. He is live at Wrigley Field right now, and the Score Hotline is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Andy, what's going on, man? Thanks for being on the Score.
Yeah, thanks for having me. How's it going?
I'm doing well. It just feels like no matter what the Cubs have done recently, and they have played well in the overall recently, even coming off of a collective no-hitter, they lose yesterday and every loss right now. If you're really back on the roller coaster, if you're back on the ride, every loss feels devastating. Andy, is that the way it felt out there in the postgame? And I know that there was a lot of special going on too.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I would go back to, like, even the Monday loss was I thought the one that was probably the worst of them, the first loss against the Pirates, where you're up 3-0 and it looks like you're trimming the wild card deficit to 2.5 at the time.
Yes.
Like, all the vibes were looking really, really good at that time. To lose that one, I thought that one was the one where, like, that was really tough. But I was also talking with a couple other people here, just like, yeah, like, that loss was tough, but at the end of the year, if they make it or they don't make it, especially if they don't make it, you're going to look back at, to me, the bigger stretch was May, where they had just as easy of a schedule as now. They played, like, the Reds, they played the Cardinals, they played the White Sox. Like, it was a really, really easy stretch. And I think they won one series in that stretch, and it was the two-game series against the White Sox where they swept them. Like, that, to me, is ultimately where you look back. Like, because Tuesday night's loss against the Pirates, like, you're going up against false teams, you're going up against one of the best pitchers in baseball. That's going to happen. Like, that's just how baseball works. But
yeah, but they had him. They had Skeens ropes, man.
They did in the first two innings for sure. But then he made some pitches, and after that, he kind of settled in. To me, the bigger thing is, like, all still going back to May. Like, you can't be putting yourself in a position where you have to go. They have 21 games left. You probably have to go, like, you know, 16-5 or so. Like, that's a really, really tough stretch. You can't put yourself in a position where you kind of have to go on that kind of stuff. Or big winning streak.
Yeah, no doubt. And so we both have our and you're right. I mean, yeah, that you laid it out very well with May. I was just talking about the same thing. You were talking about the Monday and Tuesday losses. You definitely add those to the collection of worst losses of the season relative to where you are right now. So I guess the complicated question becomes, because we know we've got an idea of what happened. So now the question becomes, what will happen? And we know that the Jed Hoyer likes this core of players, and I think that they were down with expectations for this year. But how different do you think this team will look next year?
I'm not sure it's going to look a whole lot different. Like, I point back to kind of where they're at contractually with a lot of these guys, right? If you look at left field, Ian Happ's got a no-trade clause, and he's got 2 years left on the deal after this, on his deal after this year. Say Suzuki's got a no-trade clause. You just paid a lot for Isak Paredes at third base. You're not going to move on from him at third base. Dansby Swanson's locked in. First base, Michael Busch is a rookie of the year candidate, so you have him under control for years to come. There's essentially just not a lot of places to actually upgrade. You can maybe look at the DH spot, but Cody Bellinger, the way he's performing, I would think he'd be probably opting in. So you've kind of got that position locked down too. Like, you just have to get better around the edges. And I think that's, like, maybe it's not what fans want to hear. It's not what if you're following the Cubs and, like you said, like going on the roller coaster, you don't want to hear like improving on the edges. But I can't remember the exact number of games under 500, but they're very, very below 500 in one run games. Most teams in one run games are usually right around 500. If you're right around 500, that's the difference between being 5.5 like they are right now and being 1.5 or being in that last wild card spot. And that's like where you have to get better. Like, they can't have as many bullpen misses as they had this year, right? Like the amount of games that they blew in the early summer where they were kind of trying to figure out their bullpen. Those are the kind of things that just can't happen. Your bench players have to kind of contribute more. Patrick Wisdom was such a great bench bat last year, and I know he hasn't had as many opportunities this year, but he's not hitting as many home runs. Like, all those little things start to add up that, like, well, if you had a few more home runs here, or if you had a few less blown saves here, maybe now you're looking at a 3-4-5 game swing in your record.
I agree on Wisdom. He's had too many almost home runs this year.
Hitting
it deep, but not enough for him this year, it feels like. Today, the Cubs take on the Yankees at Wrigley Field. Pre-game coverage is coming up at 12:45. Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer have the first pitch at 1:20 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We're talking to Andy Martinez of the Marquee Sports Network. I'm Mark Grody on the Score. One of the bright spots this year for sure has been Javier Assad. He gets the start today for the Cubs against Clark Schmidt for the Yankees. Assad, 7-4, 3.21. He's one of these guys that lives on the edge, as in gets himself into trouble, but is pretty good at getting himself out of those jams. Does he have to, like, I love Javier Assad, and I think he's going to be part of this Cubs rotation for a long time to come, but is it something you got to live with if you're a Cubs fan when it comes to Assad, or do you think Assad eventually will start to, you know, execute outs better in terms of clogging up the bases?
I think he will start to execute better, and you've seen it in stretches. Like, there's been, especially after he came off the IL and post All-Star break, where there's been some outings where he gives up a lot of runs, gets hit up a lot. And a lot of those, if he's had like one or two good innings in there, and even in his like really good innings, or excuse me, really good outings, he's had a stretch of good innings. Like, it's just kind of putting it all together and to be able to do it consistently, like go out every fifth day and give yourself a chance to win. Like, Shota Minaga is a rookie, but he's a veteran. He's pitched in Japan for a while. Like, he knows how to do that. Justin Steele's kind of developed into that point where he knows what he has to do to be effective every fifth day for a full outing. Jameson Taillon does that. Like, that's kind of something that comes with experience. And in Javier Assad's case, it's just about learning to be able to do it for 5 innings, for 6 innings, for 7 innings, as opposed to like 2 good innings and a 5-inning outing. Like, just doing it over and over. But I think he's really been a pleasant surprise for the Cubs this season. He was their fifth starter to beat out Drew Smyly for the last starting position in the rotation at spring training. And I think the expectation was like, oh, well, he'll eventually just go back into that middle relief swingman role that he was so good at last year and when he first came up and in the WBC with Team Mexico. But he's kind of proven, like, he's a starter and he can be a starter. And yes, it is very shaky and very worrisome at times in his outings, but he just pitches well with runners in scoring position. Like, it's really weird. Like, it should not be this good with runners in scoring position, but he can just do it. And Craig Counsell mentioned it a few weeks ago where, you know, he's kind of surpassed some of these other young arms in terms of the pecking order that are in the rotation. Some guys like Ben Brown, Hayden Wesneski, and Jordan Wicks, just because of his availability, which I think can't be understated enough. Like, if you have all the arm talent in the world, but you're not healthy and you're only pitching 30, 40, 50 innings a season, like, that doesn't help a team. Javier Assad's been able to give them over 100 innings this year. That's incredibly, incredibly valuable to a team.
You mentioned Jordan Wicks, and I was talking about him earlier and kind of asking or saying to myself, I'm not really sure what he is yet. You know, he just had his second start. He was injured, so I do take that into account. He looked okay, walked four guys. Obviously, you don't want to see that. But I guess the question on Jordan Wicks is, where do you think he fits in the future?
Yeah, I think he's going to be one of those guys competing for a starting position next year. Like, I think one of the – you asked me earlier about, you know, what do they do in the offseason. I think they have to get another veteran starter that can provide some rotation help. I think that'll be one of the things that target. But I think Wicks is still going to be starting depth for this team. And, I mean, we've seen it with the Cubs this year. We've seen it with other teams throughout baseball. Like, you don't just have five guys anymore and expect that to go through the six-month season, right? Like, guys – like, they had Justin Steele go down on opening day, and they needed Ben Brown immediately after that. Like, – you have to have multiple options. And I think he's still a starter. Like, I think he's shown flashes in his short time last year when he's been healthy this year that he can be a good starter. But kind of like the opposite of Javier Assad, it's just trying to be able to do it for a full six-month season, which is a challenge for a lot of young players. If you come out of college, you've only been pitching for two or three months in a college season. Or if you're coming up from the minor leagues, you're kind of getting babied a little bit in the sense of, like, you're only pitching – three innings for a lot of the beginning of the season and then building up to four innings and then maybe five innings. Jordan Wicks had a really funny quote in spring training where he was thinking, he was, after he'd made the rotation, he was asked, like, do you reflect back on, like, where you were last year and now making the opening day rotation? He goes, man, this time last year, I was only pitching three innings at a time, and now I'm a member of the starting rotation. Like, all those little things are also, like, valuable in the sense of, like, you just have to experience some of these things to know and prepare your body to be able to go through a major league season that's, like, really, really daunting.
Yeah, pretty amazing. It's good stuff from Jordan Wicks, too. We'll see. I mean, hey, he's a former first-round pick, so one would like to think that he would be competing for a starting job with the Cubs. Last thing for you, Andy Martinez, what was it like yesterday taking in Anthony Rizzo and all that comes with him?
That was awesome. I mean, I think, you know, I was here for Rizzo, for Brian. I was here for Javi. Like, those were really, really cool and deserved. But, man, like, the Rizzo one, and I knew, like, it was going to be bigger and expected more. But, it was still awesome. The walk-up song was a really, really fitting touch. And the video that they did before the game, I know you alluded to it a little bit before I came on. Like, it was really, really cool to see that they emphasized the impact he had on Lurie Children's Hospital here in Chicago. Like, and he went there on his off day before on Thursday. Like, that's a cause that's really, really close to him. And I was glad that they emphasized that, because to a lot of kids here in Chicago, he's not only Anthony Rizzo, the first baseman, but he's Anthony Rizzo, the inspiration that helped me get through a really challenging time. And for families like that, he's that too.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. That is a sweet side of Anthony Rizzo, and it's awesome every time you see him over there at Lurie's, for sure. Andy, this has been great, man. Cubs and Yankees coming up a little bit later on. Andy Martinez will be out there covering it. Catch him on the Marquee Sports Network. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Andy Martinez, always good information for us talking about the Cubs. Few text reactions here from the 312. Sorry, Mark, I'm not buying it. The Cubs are the eighth best team in the NL, maybe, puts in parentheses. Decidedly mediocre with more questions than answers, and an overrated manager. The arrow ain't pointing up. I don't know where the arrow is for this Cubs team. It's very confusing team. It really is. I mean, started off hot, went downhill quickly. Andy Martinez talking about the May they had. We were outlining these bad, horrible losses they had against Pittsburgh on Monday and Tuesday. And those ain't the only ones. Those are just the most recent ones. I do not have a good hold on this Cubs team. And as Andy said, most likely correctly, you should not expect blockbuster changes to this Cubs team. Now, we'll see. Things can change. But I think that there might be an overdependence on with this Cubs team saying, this team is better than that. An outlier year for this group, which makes me a little bit nervous because, yeah, this is a difficult team to figure out. 815, I'm not proud of the Cubs. We settle too many times in Chicago. Mediocrity is not something I am proud of. I love that text, man. Hey, I'm the one who's always saying if you the Cubs, the base of Cubs fans changed in 2016 when you won it all. That entitles you to want more. It just does, and act differently. And this Cubs organization has. But hey, Cubs created their own standard, which is great. They are expected to be a playoff team now. Expected to be. And yeah, there's going to be years off, but yeah, it's a new way. The fans are acting accordingly. Will the front office act accordingly? Cubs are different now. There's no lovable loser. All that got wiped out. All of it. Like, just crashed down. Goodbye. Put in new perspective. All that, like, even all the horrible stuff that happened to the Cubs. Now you could put it in a fun, neat little place. I don't mind talking about the curse anymore. I don't mind talking about 2003 anymore. I'm at peace with not winning a playoff game in 07 or 08. It's all put, I was not around in 1969, but I'm at peace with the history of what happened in that collapse in 1984, which was the hardest thing for me to deal with as a child, what happened with the 1984 Cubs coming within a win of going to the World Series and then losing three straight. That's devastating. But guess what now? It's just a side note because the Cubs won the damn World Series in 2016. Will the front office act accordingly? Fans are. I could see it all over this text line right now. That nobody is settled and nobody's buying proud of the Cubs. And you know, you're taking me a little bit out of context on that, but I'll roll with it for the sake of the radio show. I get it. I get it. And quite frankly, I like it. So yeah, I do hope the Cubs front office acts accordingly, and the manager as well, because he apparently has a pretty strong voice in the Bears front office as well. 670 The Score and Circa Sports Illinois are teaming up to celebrate the start of football season this Thursday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Bernstein, Holmes, Rahimi, and the afternoon show will be doing their shows live from the Lake Street Plaza at Prudential. There will be food trucks, games, and more throughout the day. That's this Thursday from 10 to 6 with The Score and Circa Sports Illinois. I am Mark Grody here with you up until the start of the Cubs pregame show at 12:45. When we return, I'll give you my thoughts on Anthony Rizzo. And Aramis Ramirez was on The Score today. He's also being honored at Wrigley Field. I want to talk a little bit about him as well. And we'll see. Check out the text line 231-2644-6767. I am Mark Grody. This is The Score.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What's happening? Cubs Yankees today here on The Score. 12:45 is when the pregame will start. That is soon. Bears tomorrow. I always do love the convergence of the baseball season and the football season. It's all happening. It is, for sure. Yesterday was quite a day out at Wrigley Field. I was at Hallis Hall all day, but I did come home to it on my DVR, watched the video tribute that they did for Anthony Rizzo back at Wrigley Field for the first time since he was traded. Really, really well done. And then they played his walk-up music, Intoxicated. Dun, 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 dun. You know the song. And everybody goes crazy, and he steps out And I think it's cool that they're gonna keep playing. I don't know, too much? I like it that they're gonna play the Rizzo walk, especially since the Cubs, I mean, they're five back now. So might as well just enjoy it and be a little bit entertained out at Wrigley Field. But Jim Deshaies said something yesterday during the broadcast about Anthony Rizzo that I thought was pretty spot on, that he called him the Scarecrow. And I'm like, huh? What's he talking about? Like, Wizard of Oz here? We're talking Batman? Where are you coming from, JD? And, oh, man, just sitting at the bar. He said that it was the Scarecrow because he said at the end, or Dorothy said at the end, I'll miss you most, Scarecrow, or something like that, right? It does. Anthony Rizzo is, like, because we used to talk about this. Like, who's the most popular Cubs player when they were in the thick of it? Who's the most popular? Who's the favorite? Who's your favorite Cub? Like, everybody had somebody that they would throw out there. But in the end, and I always wondered what the answer would be, the answer is Anthony Rizzo. He is the most pop. He is the Scarecrow. He embodied so much. He had a personality that helps a lot, you know, in these types of things. He was there for the losing. He was really, really good. He was a win because of guy. And there was just something about Anthony Rizzo for sure. And I always wondered about Javier Baez because he was popular with everybody in this town. I felt like even Sox fans liked Javier Baez. I think about back now on Baez, and he reminds me of a hit song. Like, where it's really good and really awesome, and you just can't get enough of this in your ear, you know? Like, it just, let's go, keep it coming, and then it just kind of, then you get tired of it, and you don't really want to hear it anymore. But then, after a while, it feels good again, and you want to keep on hearing it. That's kind of the way I felt about Javier Baez, or the way I look at it now. And look, man, these guys, it's all like 1A, 1B, 1C when it comes to their popularity, but Rizzo is number one. Baez might be number two. Chris Bryant had a chance. He had a chance to be Anthony Rizzo. He did. Just with everything. Like, obviously, he was the phenom. He was the phenom on that team. And Rookie of the Year, MVP, some of what he did with the Cubs. But it seems like, and again, 1A, 1B, 1C. He is up there too, but we're doing this for the sake of doing this. Kyle Schwarber, he was like, he's his own, like, all these guys have their own category. I guess if Baez was like a hit song, Schwarber is a folk hero. He's Paul Bunyan out there doing things, doing the magical. The fact that he played in the World Series and cranks a single to center field, and it was cranked. The fact that he's the one that put the ball in the scoreboard against the Cardinals. Yeah. I mean, all of the game-winning home runs, all of the things that he did, he's got to get votes. But yeah, he's the revelation. He's the folk hero. He's fun because he looks the part. You know, wasn't a particularly good defensive player, but he's in there. John Lester up there too, but not as cuddly. And it's always different. It always feels different with a starting pitcher. So, yeah, it got me thinking about those kinds of things and the Cubs. And the part that I don't like about it is remember when, it's fun to play in sports sometimes. It is. It's part of sports talk, reminiscing. Remember when? Wasn't that awesome? When this is the conversations you guys have yourselves, you know, like, oh, that was awesome. So there is room for it. And I obviously love doing it because I was around this team every day, that version of the Chicago Cubs, one of the golden eras of Cubs baseball. So everybody should be proud of it. But what I start to fear, and there hasn't been enough time since 2016 to have this be real, is I don't want the Cubs to turn into remember when the World Series years, the NLCS years, probably be the best way since they did that 3 years in a row starting in 2015. And I know we're not there yet, but God, I don't want that to be it. You know, you guys know that I took in as a child the 80s Bears and I remember every second of it. And so you're going to hear about it because that was the last time the Bears had sustained success. But I do understand the frustration of people who are like, why do I have to keep hearing about the 85 Bears, especially if you're younger and you know the names that we all go through. But I get it. I understand where you're coming from. You know, I got the same thing with the 1963 Bears. You know, like I love Bears history and all that. And I'm like, ah, it's enough of that. But the Bears have not been able to put something together that has had sustained success. One more thing I want to talk about as well here. And by the way, before I do that, close the show with it. Before Chicago takes on Tennessee, tune in tomorrow morning, 9 to noon, for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Busey Bank and Aurelio's. Join Mully, Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, as they'll get you set for the game. Then immediately following the game, Mully, Olin, and Manley. Oh, their names have been shortened. We'll have instant reaction on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Wonderverse. That will stream exclusively this week on the Score's YouTube and Twitch channels due to the Cubs game. I loved hearing Aramis Ramirez being this morning on Inside the Clubhouse. What's going on, Ryan McGuffey? Welcome to the Score. McGuff and Bruce had him on. It was a great interview. I had them in my ears as I was making my walk to the Jewels out here in Oak Park. And one of the things that caught my attention, I'm a huge, yeah, let me set the base here. I am a huge Aramis Ramirez fan. He was terrific, and there was always a pushback on Aramis from people, which I never, ever understood. He was terrific with the Cubs, one of the most prolific home run hitters in Cubs history. And I thought he was a good third baseman as well. I thought I know 2003 was devastating, but that guy was a monster in those playoffs. And you were not going to get as far as you were going to get without Aramis or Kenny Lofton for that matter. But Aramis just had so many clutch hits in his Cubs career, not just 03. A guy that you never really heard much from, not a lot of personality, couldn't really tell where he was coming from at times. But I thought that this was a great question this morning on Inside the Clubhouse, or the one that piqued my interest regarding Aramis Ramirez.
Players have a hard time answering this question, but I'm going to ask it to you anyway, now that you've been out of the game for a little bit. Do you feel, when you were with the Cubs, that you might have been one of the underrated players in the league? I'm not talking about on the team. I'm talking about in the league. You're a three-time All-Star. You have several Silver Sluggers. You got MVP votes in 5 or 6 seasons. Did you feel that you got the respect and the admiration that maybe you deserve in your time here with the Cubs?
I think that I got the respect from the players, from the coaches, from the other teams. I don't know if I got what I deserve from the media. That's up to other guys to answer. But on the field, from the players, my teammates, other players, other coaches, other managers, I got the respect that I deserve. Now, media side, that's not up to me to decide, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, there was weird pushback on Aramis Ramirez on, you know, one side of the Aramis Ramirez, sort of the sometimes casual way that he played. Remember the Bob Brenly thing where he yelled, "Run!" And Aramis Ramirez, you know, and those two, you know, Aramis Ramirez kind of went after Bob Brenly, you know, years later as well on that. So I don't know if that's what he's talking about. And I love that Bob Brenly was great. But I don't know if there was something personal between those two. I never heard anything of that, but maybe it was that. Maybe it was the run thing, because that was loud. Yeah, it was strange, and I never got it. I was like, why am I debating if Aramis Ramirez is good, especially with all the issues the Cubs have had at the third base position historically? I always thought that was very odd, but he gets honored going into the Cubs Ring of Honor while Sammy Sosa is in moral jail. You better say sorry, mister! But I think that's awesome that Aramis is going in a great Chicago Cub. Thank you all for listening today. Two great guests. If you want some good stuff on the Tennessee Titans, go back on your Odyssey app to 1120. Corey Curtis from Nashville and WKRN was on with us. Andy Martinez with a great Cubs segment with us at 12. Andy from the Marquee Sports Network. We certainly thank him. And Tyler Farengold doing a great job producing the game back in the studios. I'm assuming, Tyler, you're all Bears geared up right now.
You know,
I can't
Brody,
see it behind the curtain.
I'm actually not. I'm waiting for tomorrow. That's Jesus. When I'm going to duck out.
Oh, okay. You're waiting for Amazon to drop off the fresh threads. All right, man.
I'll put on a hat when I get home.
I appreciate you. Thanks to everybody for listening. I love you guys. Have a great weekend on The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.